get started. Exhibit B, The Human Condition, is, I mean, from what we heard, I mean, when we listened to the album, is pretty solid album. How are you guys pleased with the end result?
Oh, yeah, we're totally stoked. You know, everybody seems to be totally digging it, you know, and we're very happy with it. We just can't wait for this thing to come out.
And what were you guys concerned before? I mean, did you guys had any concerns since the last album didn't do too hot with the critics and fans alike? Okay, since the last album, Let There Be Blood, didn't do too hot with the critics and fans, what were you shooting for with this album?
Oh, the last album did great with the critics. I mean, you always got fucking people who don't like stuff, but the last album was album of the year in Rock Hard Readers poll, you know, and album of the month in a number of magazines. So, you know, I mean, fucking even Blabbermouth loved it, you know. you know, just some people want everything to be 1985. We don't have any goal with any album other than to make a great record, you know, and to not repeat ourselves. You know, we don't think anything through. We just make the record however it comes out, however it comes out, you know, and then you just hope people like it. You know, you have to write for yourself first.
And how do you think that The Human Condition, I mean, what would you think it's different from the previous albums you guys done?
You know, it's just, you know, it's just a little more melodic. It's super brutal. It's, you know, it has a lot of the energy and liveliness of, like, some of the older stuff, I think. You know, it's, I think it's a perfect blend of, like, the old and the modern, you know?
Okay, and then what about for the concept, the Human Condition? What were you guys shooting to tell people with the lyrics and stuff?
You know, it's more really trying to tell a story. It's just, you know, I'm fascinated by, you know, mankind and its, you know, propensity for violence and cruelty and ignorance and all that stuff. And, you know, just as the song started coming along, you know, that's kind of how the whole concept came about.
And what what aspects do you think are the most important that you guys touch in the album?
You know, my favorite song is probably Class Dismissed, which, you know, just, you know, paints the story of, like, you know, school shooting through the eyes of the shooter. You know, it's kind of inspired by everything from Charles Whitman in Texas in the 60s to Columbine to Virginia Tech, you know. But, you know, it would touch on a lot of things, you know, everything from the massacre in Nanking, China in 1937 to, you know, the world's fascination with idiot reality television stars with Burn Hollywood Burn and, and, you know, serial killers with the Ballad of Leonard and Charles and a lot of things like that.
And going to the reality stuff, don't you feel that with technology now, with the, like, the studio reports and all that stuff, kind of music is turning into as showing a reality show aspect with those things?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that, for example, now with technology that you guys did the studio reports in your pages, don't you think that that's adding a little reality TV kind of aspect to the whole music writing and recording process?
Not really, not at all, because that's just cue and answer and, like, being able to interact with your fans, you know. There's nothing real about reality television and all that crap that's all over the TV today. It's just fake bullshit posed as, like, as some sort of reality, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Q&A, that's just, you know, giving fans a chance to ask and get questions answered live, you know? Just like, it's like doing an interview for everybody who's logged on to, like, ask a question.
Yeah, exactly. We were meaning more about, like, the studio reports where you can actually see. I mean, yeah, it allows the fans to see some aspect of
exactly
process. And we see that you guys have a couple of warm-up shows in California before leaving with Heathen and other bands. Are you guys psyched for that?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Doing L.A. and Hollywood and possibly one other show just shortly before we go over to Europe, and it should be a lot of fun.
And how did you, I mean, you guys been touring constantly for the last few years. How do you manage to sneak in the recording of the album in between?
We just keep working, you know. I mean, we went to South America for a month with Creator, like, I think, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we started recording. So, you know, we just keep working and stay busy.
And do you think that this had an impact on how the music turned out, that you guys were more active? And
yeah, I think so, because, you know, you get fresh off a tour, you know, everybody's chops are really up, and, you know, you're at the top of your game, you know, because you get a level of tightness and strength in your playing live that you don't get sitting around in a rehearsal room, you know, so it benefits everybody.
Yeah, and what about in the music writing aspect? Do you think that over the years it's become easier for you guys to whip out songs?
You know, it's like, I don't find it extremely hard, you know, but, you know, we're our own harshest critics, and so, you know, we just work real hard. But, you know, I mean, I think it's something that we're good at, you know, you know, especially when it comes to writing riffs, you know, it's not work to me, you know, I play guitar and I write riffs, same thing I do if I wasn't making albums.
And what can you, for example, recommend people that they're writing their own music to not sound alike in every single album they do?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, your goal is to have and achieve, you know, your own signature sound, but at the same time, you know, constantly improve and expand upon it, you know?
And just quoting some influences and stuff, how do you see that the Exodus sound has incorporated from other more modern, different bands in the last few years?
You know, I mean, we don't really pay attention, you know, when we're writing to anything anybody else is doing. As a matter of fact, I kind of stop listening to anything that I think, you know, like influencing from the outside in, you know. If I listen to music when I'm writing, I usually listen to like old classic stuff that I've always loved, you know, and I'm more likely to put on some Venom than I am, you know, anything that came out, you know, within the last, you know, 12 months.
And what do you think this is? I mean, how do you think this would make the sound, the music sound, a little bit more fresh and modern then?
Well, it's just, to me, it's more about inspiration. You know, those, you know, the same bands that inspired me in, you know, in the early 80s, you know, I listen to that and it kind of brings back that feeling, you know, of just excitement for the music that you have when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is true. And you guys are doing some festivals in the summer. Are there any plans for a full tour in the U.S. supporting this new release?
We'll be hitting the U.S. in August. We're just working on confirming bands for the tour and stuff. And we'll be in Europe from mid-June to almost mid-July. Like, you know, I think our last show is July 10th in Europe. And then we're coming home for the rest of the month, and we'll be back out again.
And if you had to put like a lineup together of like an actual trash metal tour, which bands that are resurfacing from the older days would you pick to be your tour bands?
I don't know. That's hard to say. You know, Slayer would always be awesome, but, you know, we could put together one hell of a tour just never going outside of the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, if you had like us, that's the Death Angel, Forbidden Heathen, you know, you got quite an awesome tour right there.
Do you think that will ever be a possibility?
You never say never, you know.
And what about, I mean, going back to the album, when you guys were writing it, how long did it take you guys to conceive this?
Well, you know, I started writing riffs probably around the beginning of last year, in between tours and stuff. You know, we have 3 songs recorded already. And so, I worked on my time off, and, you know, it just went from there.
And how do you see that, the new recording technology with the computers, and you can do it anywhere, how does that came into play for the last albums that the band's done?
Well, it's awesome, because, I mean, we recorded everything but the drums in a rented house up in the woods, you know, which you couldn't do that in the old days when you'd have to, like, haul in a several hundred pound, you know, 2-inch tape machine and, you know, about a 6-foot wide mixing board and all the cabling and everything required. You know, we were able to do the entire album on a laptop, you know.
And do you think that will take away from the sound?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, it's just everything becomes so much easier to make great sounding albums for a fraction of the cost that it used to run, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, some other bands do say that they lose the grittiness of, like, the whole older, more analog recording process. So you think that that's not the case? But
no, that's an outdated thinking anyway, you know. So, like, you know, in the 80s, all we wanted to do is make every album sound better than the last, and I have no desire to, like, dig out some old antiquated equipment and try to make it sound like it did then, because we wanted it then to sound like it does now.
Yeah, I guess other bands are just shooting for that sound to try to get the older audience or something back.
Yeah, they're just trying to relive, you know. Well, you get some younger guys, they want it to sound like that because they weren't there during that time, you know. They're fascinated with it or what have you, you know. So they just, you know, they want to make their album sound like a 1987 record, you know. And, you know, we just want everything to sound amazing when you blast that shit on your stereo, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we particularly also do not see the point of having all this technology and equipment and then making it sound shitty.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, and what do you guys think about the bands that, I mean, there's, I mean, 15, 16-year-old kids trying to come up with the whole and play the trash metal, like, back in the old days in the Bay Area?
I think it's awesome, you know. It's like you got a whole new generation of kids that love the thrash metal, and there's a lot of great bands out there, you know, and the better those bands as they, you know, mature and get a little more experience, you know, as bands like Warbringer and Bonded by Blood and Evil Olive Stone, you know, they start, you know, developing more of their own sound, you know, and that just comes with experience and practice, you know, and those bands are going to, like, be around for a while, I think.
And do you think that it's possible for those people to actually capture the essence of those times?
Well, nobody can recapture something that's come and gone already, you know. But, you know, they can, you know, wave the flag and carry the spirit, you know. They're certainly into it, but, you know, that was a different time, you know. Thrash metal would never be like it was then because it was completely underground and completely new, you know. It hadn't been done before, so there's, you know, a newness to it for sure.
And have you guys ever thought about softening the sound to appeal to a broader audience, like other bands did?
Hell no, that's not my vocabulary.
And what is your impression or opinion of people that started with the thrash metal scene back then and then they became something completely different?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's band is just that, it's their band, and they can do with it as they wish, you know. And, you know, people are music, they're songwriters, and maybe they feel stifled or something, but, you know, I love what I do, and I love thrash metal, you know, and there's tons of, I think it's the most open form of rock, you know, as far as experimentation and stuff, you know, and, like, you know, I don't find it limiting at all, but, you know, maybe some people do.
Yeah, or they just decide to make more money by changing, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, quite often that backfires, too, you know.
Yeah, you lose your older fans, and probably you can destroy your older fan base or all of it.
Yeah, exactly. Some of your newer fans just might not stick around, you know.
And how do you think that now, I mean, yeah, talking about this, about the fans, do you think that the fans that you guys make now are going to be as loyal as the ones you made, let's say, 20 years ago?
Oh, every bit as much. You know, our audience now is largely, you know, made up of people anywhere from 16 to 26 years old, you know, and they're just rabid. They love the stuff, you know, at least in America, not really Europe, but in America, you know. The older fans that were around 1985, you know, they don't go out to shows anymore, you know. They're home and married, have their four kids, and, you know, they live in different lives, you know, you know, you're dependent upon, like, the new generation of thrash fans for your survival. We've been fortunate enough that, you know, we have a lot of kids come to our shows and buy our records.
So you don't believe that with the attention span of current generations and with all the stuff that's flooding the market? Because, I mean, now you have, I mean, we get like 50 to 60 albums a month to review, whereas 10 years ago we got 20 at the most. Don't you think that having all that distraction will make people veer away?
No, because, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I looked, just metal was all I lived for, you know, and you know, these kids into thrash metal now, they're die hard, you know, and they're, you know, they're going for it hardcore, you know, especially down in the pit and stuff, and you know, and they're young, and they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like you said, you've seen the audiences in different faces, but similar or higher intensity when they're in the mosh pit.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Well, then how do you see the audiences now? I mean, we have different generations, but how's the intensity of the mosh pit changed over the years?
It's as intense as ever, you know, they're going for it every night when we're out there, and you know, it's like the old guys with the bad hips, they usually stay in the back and the kids go up and just fuck shit up.
Will you get on the mosh pit any
time?
Oh,
hell no. No way. Especially not one of my own. If that was possible.
And what do you think that's changed now that, I mean, of how you see music these days from the older days?
How do I see the music?
Yeah, I mean, how do you see the process of making music or being in the music business as you saw it?
Well, you know, as far as being in the music business, you know, you learn a lot through the years, that's for sure, you know. As far as making music, you know, I still write a song the same way I did in 1985. You know, I just download the guitar and start playing and see what comes up.
And do you think that by being in the music industry, that has made you think differently about the scene?
No, necessarily, but you know, just about the business aspect for sure. You know, when you're a kid, you don't worry about that kind of stuff. All you want to do is, you know, play, and you know, your primary concern is whether your next bottle of vodka is going to be drunk. You know, but now you definitely have to pay attention to all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. And how do you, what do you think about that? There's a lot of metal bands now that they're actually like products. They've been forged to do something instead of the band finding its own identity. Do you think that takes a bad or positive influence in the scene?
You know, I don't really know about the answer to that one. You know, I just, you know, if you're not doing what's honest musically for yourself, you know, you're kind of going about it wrong anyway. I don't know about anybody else's situation. All I know is that we do what we want. Hell, our label hears the album when it's mixed. we're left completely alone to do exactly what we want out there, every album.
And you guys happy? Well, I mean, you sound pretty happy with the deal with Nuclear Blast. How do they treat you so far over the years?
It's awesome. You know, they're fans of the band first and the record label second. And like I said, you know, they leave us completely alone to do what we do, and you know, they give us 100% creative control of the band, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
And did you guys have this any problems in the past that you've seen with other labels where that didn't happen?
Yeah, well, we've always pretty much maintained, you know, control of our music, but you know, end up with, you know, labels that aren't fans of the band, don't understand the music, and you know, they don't know what to do with it, you know, and that happens a lot.
And for example, now with the album cover, did you guys, who came up with the concept of the album cover, which is pretty interesting?
Well, it was a concept of mine, just, you know, bouncing some things around, and you know, we just wanted to take the Da Vinci sketch that he did of the Vitruvian Man and kind of just apply it to the album and the concept itself, you know, and just, you know, put an Exodus spin on it. And I think it came out really, really great.
And this subject, how do you guys see the transformation of making covers from 20 years ago, where you had to go to graphic artists and take a while? Between now, I just go into Photoshop and in a few hours just hammer it out.
Well, it takes a lot more than a few hours. It's just the beauty of it is, you know, doing things like this digitally is that, you know, things are removable, you know. I mean, we worked a long time back and forth on the cover for this, but, you know, you can point something out and you doesn't have to repaint it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of artistic ability that goes into the stuff. You know, these guys, you know, just... They're, you know, genius artists in their own right. You know, they just work in a digital medium now.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people kind of like to take them down because they think it's just sitting in front of the computer, which is completely not.
If that was the case, everybody could do it.
Yeah, it's the same with music, we think.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, now that the band's been all this way and all these years, recapping, what would you think has been the biggest success that Exodus has had over the years?
Just the fact that we're still here, we're still relevant, and still playing with as much fire and energy as we ever did. You know, I think that's a giant success in its own right.
Did you ever expect it since you, when you guys started to be around for this long?
When we started, you know, we were just, you know, making the kind of metal we wanted to hear and wanted to, you know, go out, play shows, have a good time. You know, we never thought of anything, you know, past the next day, let alone 25 years down the line.
And have your rituals before shows and after shows changed?
You know, I'd have a couple shots, a couple beers, and warm up and get ready to go out and rage.
So we're guessing that's not entirely different from before?
Well, back then it was more than a couple of shots, a couple of beers. Might have been a couple of bottles, you know.
And, I mean, what else do you guys want to accomplish with Exodus, you think?
You know, just keep going forward, keep pushing the boundaries of thrash metal, and take this as far as we can before our bodies won't let us do it anymore. Right now we all feel really young and healthy and able to, like, perform at the level we require to do this, you know, and as long as we can go out and deliver the goods, we're going to keep doing it.
And has performing getting harder since, I mean, there's a lot of parts that in the music that are actually faster than before?
Oh, yeah, much. Yeah, it requires a little more work to play. Absolutely, especially, you know, some of the complex, like high-speed picking, you know. But you just, you know, you just work at it, you know, you take care of yourself and make sure you can do it every night.
What would you recommend to people that want to play and want to keep themselves top-notch for as many years as you guys have?
Just take care of your body and practice, you know. I mean, I've used my body for many, many years, and I'm lucky it still works.
So you guys probably have a couple more albums in your contract, or?
Yeah, two more after this.
Well, so at least we know we're going to have two more.
Yeah. Barring any catastrophe, absolutely.
And if you never, I mean, if the band would have never picked up, what would you think that you would have done with yourself?
Oh, hell, I have no idea. You know, I never really, like, thinking of things in those terms as to what would I have done. You know, just all I think about is, you know, the next step, you know, not any missteps.
And just to close it up, if you guys had unlimited budget for a live performance, what do you think you would use to take the full Exodus experience to the fans?
No, fuck, we'd blow everything up, that's for sure. Probably including ourselves.
So that would be a good idea?
Not intentionally, but I'm sure something bad would happen. Someone would forget not standing over the explosive device, you know.
Okay, is there anything else you want to add about the new album that's coming out on May 18th in the U.S., right?
Yeah, you just added it, May 18th. It's a fucking great record.
And if just say a few lines to try to sell the album.
If you like your metal extremely intense and extremely brutal and well crafted, and you want your money's worth for your hard-earned dollars.